It was a trend in the period of the Enlightenment, which in many ways moves us all the way through today. There were a lot of people who chopped up their Bibles, literally in many cases. Thomas Jefferson, for instance, is famous for the Jefferson Bible, which he went through, especially the New Testament. He went through and he chopped out the parts of it that he thought were not modern enough. He left the ethics and the moral principles in there, but he took out the healings and the miracles and even things like the resurrection. So he thought, modern man cannot believe in these things. That's not what it's about. Rudolf Bultmann was the theologian and scholar who really institutionalized this. In 1941, he proclaimed that Christians needed to demythologize, that's the word I'm looking for, demythologize our Bibles and our faith, for that matter. That we needed to take those things that really were beyond the supernatural and hold on to the things that were natural and good and helpful for people to live better. But the other things just got in the way. They were stumbling blocks for modern people. He wrote this: "We cannot use electric lights and radios, and in the event of illness, avail ourselves of modern medical and clinical means, and at the same time believe in the spirit and wonder world of the New Testament." And his Rudolf Bultmann is one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century. At a similar time as Bultmann, you had others like J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, who were creating their own wonder worlds filled with spirit and filled with magic. The Lord of the Rings and the Narnia series, the most famous from these two authors. And in some ways, they wrote as a counterpoint to this demythologizing of Bultmann and of the Enlightenment. They said, look, we need to see the magic and the glory and the spirit of the world around us. In 1964, C.S. Lewis wrote, "We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito." It's beautiful, isn't it? And I think we live in the tension of these two worlds. Even as Christians who may believe in the spirit world, we often get caught up in living our day-to-day lives like there is nothing more than the basic necessities, the things that we can see and touch and taste and smell. We live like that. We're modern people. And so we're going to close our series on kind of the spirit realm, the twisted series, with this text from Colossians 2. And I want you, as you listen to this reading, to ask, what kind of world is this? What kind of world is Paul describing in Colossians 2 and 3? He writes, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ when you were buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses." erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals and new moons or Sabbath. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of this universe, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Why do you submit to regulations like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? All these regulations refer to things that perish with use. They are simply human commands and teachings. They have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-imposed piety, humility, and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value in checking self-indulgence. So, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The word of the Lord. Now, there's a lot in there. There's a lot we could dig deeper into, but I want to just make 3 points to kind of sum up this past few weeks and what we've been talking about from Paul's words in Colossians 2 and 3. And the first is that we are called to live in a dancing creation that is teeming with spirit. We live in a creation that is dancing and teeming with the spirit and the glory of God. In just a chapter before, Colossians 1, Paul described Jesus as the one in whom all things hold together. That Christ is currently and constantly sustaining this world. It's not just matter and science. It's Jesus at the center of all things. In Isaiah 6, famously, Isaiah hears these words, "The whole earth is filled with God's glory." Now, of course, we've seen that this works both ways. That the spirits with which this world is teeming are good and are evil. That our lives are filled with both suffering and delight. But the point is that there's more than just the things that we can see and touch and taste and smell and measure. Eugene Peterson writes it better than most of us could, or I could say it. He writes, "We sense that life is more than what we are in touch with at this moment. But not different from it, not unrelated to it. We have this feeling in our bones that we are involved in an enterprise that is more than the sum of our parts that we can account for by looking around us and making an inventory of the details of our bodies, our families, our thoughts and feelings, the weather and the news, our job and leisure activities. We have this feeling that we will never quite make it out. Never be able to explain or diagram it, that we will always be a living mystery, but a good mystery." Amen. You see, demythologizing the scriptures or demythologizing this world, acting like there is nothing more than humanity and nature, doesn't help us to live in the way of Jesus. It simply dulls and grays the world in which we try to live like Jesus. Mardi Gras on Tuesday is this radical celebration of creation and goodness and pleasure, and says that all, even the things that we can taste and touch and smell and hear, even those things come to us from the good hand of God. That all things created are good. This world is dancing with spirit. The second point I want to make this morning is then that as we talk about spirit and as we talk about creation, these things are integrated. These things are woven together in ways that are so intricate and so complex that no amount of rational thinking could separate them. We cannot say, well, this is just spirit and this is just flesh. That's not how it works. All things are woven together, spirit and flesh. As we saw in Ephesians 1, that God's grand goal is the final reintegration of heaven and earth. And in Revelation 21, we saw the new heaven and new earth, not as someplace out there that we go to, but as someplace that comes down and breaks through into the world. Heaven and earth are interlocked and will be one day forever. In John 1, John writes that the Word, this Word of God that ordered and made all things, became flesh and dwelt among us. Spirit and flesh are integrated, work together. We saw in Colossians that we just read this theme that kept coming up. Let's look again at verses 6 and 7. He writes, as you therefore have received Christ, of course, this in itself is a recognition of spirit and body coming together, that we have in some way received Christ. Continue to live your lives in Him, rooted in Him, and built up in Him, and established in the faith. You see that the connection, the integration of spirit and flesh, it's not an otherworldly thing. It's right here and right now. Colossians 9 and 10. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and somehow He is in us and we are in Him. You have come to the fullness in Him who is the head of every ruler and authority. Again, this interlocking of spirit and flesh. Verse 12. When you were buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. There is this mysterious and inexplicable, beyond rationality and nature, there is this thing in which we are united with Christ, with God, in baptism. That we die with Him, that we are raised with Him. These things are integrated, life and death, spirit and flesh. And verse 19, not holding fast, he says, the problem is when we are not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. He's talking about us. He's talking about the spiritual community in this life right now. And then finally, in verse chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And that may seem to be this kind of dualism, this separation. Oh, well, there's this up here and there's this down here. But if you remember, if you notice, he says, we have been raised with Christ. Not we will be raised with Christ, but we have been raised. Like, there is a sense in which we are already, right now in our lives, also seated in the heavenly throne room with God in Jesus Christ. It's hard to wrap our minds around, and that's the point. That in one sense, our feet are on the ground, and we need food for our bodies, and all of these things that are physical and material, and at the same time, we are seated and raised with Christ in the heavenly throne room. You see, these things are not over there and over here. These things are together, simultaneous. These are our life. One writer, David Benner, says that our call as Christians is to be fully alive and deeply human. And I think that is a pretty good way of putting it. Sometimes, in the dualistic way of looking at the world, our goal is to become something other than human, is to get out of this body and to escape. No, actually, spirituality exists in diving into our humanity and allowing God to bring us alive right here in this life, right now. So the integration of the spirit and flesh. And finally, we're going to come full circle. If you remember, we started this series on Epiphany, and we said that, you know, with all the ideas that we might have about angels and demons and Satan and heaven and hell, all this stuff, the point of all of it in the scriptures and in our faith is to lead us back to the heart of it all, who is Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we can recognize all around us the spiritual battle that exists, the forces of good and evil that are all around us. And I think we sense that, we know that. And even when we see something, let's say something horrible in the news, we think, that's just not natural. There's something else going on there. There's something more. There's some other spirit at work there that moves that. And so we can acknowledge the spiritual battle that's going on all around us. But the key to it all is not fighting this battle on all these different fronts. The key to it all is to remain and abide and go deeper into Christ, who is with us now. Any of you foosball players? Any pro foosball players here? I haven't played foosball in a long time, but I do remember when I was first playing foosball, how overwhelming it was to be, you know, on your own team when it's just one-on-one and you've got these four knobs or, you know, whatever that you got to turn. And, you know, like if you've played, it can get a little crazy and you're like here and then you're here and then you're all over here. Sometimes that is the impression we give of how we live and fight the spiritual battles that we've been talking about. We got to run all over the place. Well, there's evils happening here, and I need to fight it in this way, and this evil's happening, and this spiritual force is here, and this demon, and these angels, and all these things are going on. And that's not what the scriptures tell us. The scriptures say, yeah, all these things may be going on. There may be all these social forces and temptations and things from your childhood, which we'll talk about. We're going to talk about trauma throughout Lent and how that affects. There might be all these battles going on, but the key to all of it is very simple. Christ, who is God with us. And going deeper into what that is, what that means, going deeper into the experience that love abides with us, that God is for us. And that Christ, as we just read in here, where, I have it in my notes here, okay, 13. When you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. When he forgave us all our trespasses, he erased the record that stood against us, nailed it to the cross. Now listen to verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in his cross. Christ is victorious over all sin, over all evil, over all death. So the key to the spiritual battle is nothing other than to be found in Christ. To be more fully alive in Christ and more deeply human in Christ, because Christ is human and divine. And so as Paul says, don't get lost in rules or speculations. Don't get lost in all the details of heaven or hell or all the intricacies of how angels and demons seem to work here and there. Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, has triumphed over all of them, is our salvation and is our hope. Christ is the heart of it all. Sometimes I know that all of us get lost in the things of this world. Taxes and diapers and dusting, but enough about me. Doctor's appointments, political arguments, entertainment, TV, neighbors, car trouble, getting little bits of Play-Doh out of your carpet, and I'm back to myself again. But anyway, we can get lost in the things of this world, just the humdrum and the frustrations and irritations of daily life. And sometimes church can be that place where we escape. Oh, we can just take a morning off and just sing and pray. And that's fine, because Christ, there are many times where we need Christ to be our refuge. And we just need to be like, this is just too much. Leave the Play-Doh in the carpet and just spend some time with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Okay. Always remembering, though, that Christ will always lead us back into real life, into the world, to the cleaning and the paying and the caring for things. Christ will always lead us back to that. Not to say, okay, well, we had our time together, now go do the things you have to do, and then maybe we'll meet here again next week or tomorrow morning during your quiet time or devotional, whatever. No. When Christ walks with us back into life, he walks back into life with us, opening our eyes, saying, I am in you, and you are in me, and I am in that person, and they are in me, and I am in that situation, and that situation is in me. Recognize me, follow me, delight in me, become like me in real life. And so, friends, any doctrine or spiritual idea that doesn't lead you back to Christ or the coming together of heaven and earth in him is twisted. Because it is in him, in him alone, that all things hold together. All things were created by him and for him, and in him everything is being reconciled and made new. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God of grace and glory, thank you for being Emmanuel with us in all things, that there is no part of our life that is secular, profane. Every moment of our day is infused with your life and your glory, and is the opportunity and potential to find you anew. Open our eyes, we pray. Help us to live in you as you live in us. Amen.